And then I started hearing about Nelson Mandela. And I began to read more about South Africa and what was happening there. And finally, I ended up going to South Africa in the year 2000. And I happened to be there on the exact 10th anniversary of Nelson Mandela's release from prison. And I went to Robben Island, and I went to the cell where he had lived in isolation for so many years. And I went out to the limestone quarries where he had to bust limestone in the brilliant sun. That's why his eyes are so squinted and so on. And I had a sense of something very powerful. This man walked out of prison after 27 years of being innocently incarcerated. And almost all of those years, he was in silence. Deep silence, enforced silence. And he somehow was able to make conscious contact, in my estimation, with God. And he came out of that prison not with revenge and not with hatred and not with anger in his heart. He came out of that prison with forgiveness and reconciliation and nothing more in his heart. And it was through his conscious contact with God in that silence that he was able to find a way to turn what was potentially a volatile experience. War was predicted because 3 million people were telling 17 million people that they were inferior, and it just looked like a bloodbath was going to ensue. Not only in South Africa, but in all over Africa, which had been colonized and had been experiencing apartheid in a just a little different form for centuries. And this one man with this visionary consciousness that I believe came about because of his experience of silence, of getting quiet, and that when we go into that silence, we experience something that is unlike anything that we experience anyplace else. Such, I think, is the power of silence, that it was really not only transformative in South Africa, but I believe that Nelson Mandela, who left a copy of his book there for me called Long Walk to Freedom and signed it personally to me, because he couldn't be there. He was up in Zimbabwe negotiating some peace between some of the tribes there, and left me a note and a signed book, which I, of course, treasure. And when I spoke in South Africa, I spoke about this, and I didn't think anybody would be there who would come to hear me speak. I had never even been to South Africa. And they were lined up around the block to get in. People of all races and descriptions in Cape Town and in Johannesburg. And I'll be going back there in a very short time to speak again. And I had a very strong sense that this person was, in his silence, discovered something that we can all discover, something about reconciliation. And something about making conscious contact with God. So, how do we pursue this silence? And why did Melville say, God's one and only voice is silence? I think it's important to understand this intellectually, and then to go about looking for ways to bring it into your life, and to understand it more deeply.